The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection. Support comes from United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org. And New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is Gerard Jerry Casar, yep, chairman of the Conservative Party in New York. You can find out more about the Conservative Party at cpnys.org. Jerry, welcome back. Always love to have you.
I enjoy being on the show. Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, just to set our audience up right, let me ask you, what's the Conservative Party's philosophy of government?
Well, smaller government, less spending, smaller government in general, with an emphasis on what we do spend money on things like safe streets, law enforcement, a strong national defense. We do believe certainly there are some principles that require safety nets, but we look at more personal responsibility as our philosophy towards government.
So could you just, for the heck of it, name some of the places where we're spending too much money?
Well, I would say to you that when I say to you too much money, I'm thinking where I see some wasteful spending.
Okay.
So, you know, you could possibly argue that there could be better ways to spend money. And I'll give you on some of the social service programs, some of the so-called safety net programs, which in my view, give individuals too much of an opportunity to stay out of the workforce. Maybe some of the new continuing COVID programs really need to phase themselves out. I strongly support money being spent on education, but I would not agree on everywhere money is spent on education. Some of these newer philosophies in New York State that relate to education issues in terms of curriculum, I feel that that money could be better spent. So, right now, and I'll just conclude with this, but right now you're talking about, with the add-ons that each house of the legislature came up with, something like a $226 billion state budget. That is extraordinarily larger than it was 6 years ago. And I would question whether all that money was thoughtfully injected into the budget, or if a lot of it was not just simply programmatic type money to help get incumbents reelected.
You got any specific examples, Jerry?
Well, no, not necessarily. But I do believe that the state legislature could not have added in so many billions of dollars without it really looking at more of a political budget versus I will give you a good example. I will give you an example relating to the amount of money that the state was putting into the budgets and continues to put into the budget to cover employment issues that relate to undocumented aliens. That would be an example that I would give you. I do believe that the government has a responsibility, certainly for health and education issues related to undocumented aliens. But what the government is doing in New York State is they're making up for all sorts of unemployment-type benefits, which the federal government does not consider appropriate on their level. So New York State is making up all these items, which to me is not an appropriate use of my taxpayer dollars. That, to me, would be an example.
So, Jerry Casar, chairman of the Conservative Party, let me ask you this. If what you're saying is right, and some of it strikes this particular chord with me, how come the voters don't follow you?
Well, in some parts of the state, they have been. They certainly did last year on our opposition to those ballot proposals. I also think that we do have a lot of success in local elections around the state. Frankly speaking, I'm hoping to have a lot more success on the state stuff this year. Gerrymandering aside, there is certainly a set of issues out there relating to the economy, relating to certainly public safety, where I'm anticipating, as long as we're running candidates, you know, we need, it's getting more difficult for both political parties, frankly, to find individuals to want to jump into this arena. And it's because of probably many, you know, we have made serving in government in many ways an unpopular place to find your employment. I do believe that when our candidates will have greater success this year, particularly in the Senate and Assembly, and I do believe that, like I said, aside, I do believe that Zeldin's going to get elected governor, Lee Zeldin, Congressman Zeldin.
Well, I don't think so, but, you know, that's what makes a horse race, that's for sure. But
if everybody
agreed
with me, if everybody agreed with me, I'd have you on my show.
Okay, right. So let me ask you this. What is the contemporary relationship between the Republican Party and the Conservative Party?
Very good. We are joined up this year on many issues. Now, it is worth noting that the Conservative Party was actually formed to oppose liberal policies in the Republican Party back in the early 60s that Nelson Rockefeller
and Jake Javits
Jake Javits. So it is interesting when you look at it that way. But for a number of years, and I would say really going back to the Reagan years, so it's been a long time, the parties have been mostly united, mostly, not always, but mostly united.
So with that in mind, do political parties themselves, their very existence, George Washington reminded us not to have faction parties, do political parties help or hurt democracy?
Well, I think they help as long as the parties are espousing clear principles and a person going in to a voting booth feels that those parties have been like a part of a vetting so that you get a sense of who they are by simply the endorsement. I mean, if it's a willy-nilly type situation and people are just looking to, you know, just looking to just run people, well, you're going to have to do all your own homework. But I would always urge a voter to do a lot of homework. But I would say to you, and it's understandable that most will not, even in the age of the internet where you have access to an enormous amount of information. So I like to believe that the Conservative Party and, you know, mostly offers a good housekeeping seal of approval to issue and value-oriented voters.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. We have invited, of course, our new governor, as we invite you, to be on this air, and so far, nothing doing. I think you would say, even though you and I don't always agree, that I've treated you fairly, nicely, and with respect, right?
Yes, and you keep on having me come back, so I would take that as a great honor in itself.
Well, yes, but you have a governor who doesn't want to be on a radio station that reaches probably more people than anybody else and more territory than anybody else. What would you make of that?
Well, I think it goes to her whole problem of flip-flopping. When you're a flip-flopper like she is, and I, you know, whether I agree with her on a given day or don't agree with her, I really don't know where she's going to be a week later. Sometimes those types of politicians do not benefit from being locked down by actually saying something on a well-listened-to radio show, because then when they change their position on a hold from what they had previously said. I mean, I am glad that Governor Hochul is now pushing a new law enforcement agenda, but I cannot forget that she's been in government a very long time and that she not only espoused, she celebrated many of these unfortunate changes that were made that have led to more dangerous streets around the state. So now that she's pushing in the other direction, good for her. But you know, that is a flip flop for her. That is a flip flop that went my way, but it is definitely a flip flop for her. And now we have to see how successful she is going to be in pushing that agenda, or whether she is a toothless governor, really under the control of the state legislature. And so far, from my perspective, that's what she's shown herself to be.
Well, now let's talk about one specific part of all of that, and that's bail reform.
Yeah.
Now, despite facing opposition from a majority of Democratic state lawmakers, New York State's governor, Kathy Hochul, we've been talking about, is still pushing for some reforms in the state's controversial bail reform laws during budget negotiations. A leaked memo last week showed Hochul pitching changes to top lawmakers in the Democratic-led legislature. It would expand a law that requires court-ordered assisted outpatient treatment for certain people with mental illness and widen the criminal charges for which a judge can set bail for a defendant. Does this take away the GOP's issue as their candidates campaign for governor largely on this issue, and I would assume the Conservative Party too?
Not really, because the voters tend to color these issues in kind of a, you know, who do you trust more, a Republican or a Democrat, on different issues. And I don't think there's anything that Hochul could do that would cause any voters in this state to believe, that voters that might have been with us, to believe that it's better to have a Democrat in power when it comes to law enforcement. Secondly, well, let's see what she finally is able to negotiate with the legislature. Having a greater emphasis, like on Kendall's law or on mental illness issues, is important, extremely important. But there's a whole variety of problems, including those disclosure provisions that the district attorneys have to work under. There's a whole bunch of different issues here that all need to be addressed. And, is her team really about fixing that, or is her team delivering a political message to try to maneuver in a political environment? I would think the answer would be yes, but I believe that most voters are going to see through that. If public safety is your issue, you're going to be voting Republican and conservative in 2022.
So as a conservative, which you certainly are, I'm fascinated by this business with Trump right now. You had two major members of the district attorney's staff quitting because they think it's fair to say that the district attorney, Alvin Bragg, has taken a fall in not prosecuting Donald Trump. What do you make of that?
I will say Alvin Bragg does have a problem prosecuting most anybody, so I suppose there's some logic to that. I don't know what the ins and outs of that. You know, I take the view that the standard that a district attorney is looking at could be a little different than the standard that some of his staff is looking at, and that Bragg is apparently believes that he doesn't have the type of information or documentation he needs to move ahead with something. You know, the fact that his staff thinks otherwise, well, I'm going to just take the view that it is what it is. They have left, and he's not moving forward, apparently. And I suppose the attorney general or someone else in the state, since they all despise Trump, will try to come up with something new. I mean, we just, you know, when you support President Trump, you end up in a world where you expect a lot of incoming shots, and they never really seem to end.
Do you think that Bragg, just to hold on to this for a moment, is in the pocket of Trump?
No, not definitely not. I'm assuming this is it's an assumption because that he just does not believe what his office has produced meets a certain standard. And from his perspective, I suppose if he was to attempt to go into court and have a miserable day on court, he would probably be doing the anti-Trump world that he is a member of more of a favor than he'd probably ever want to do. So there is nothing remotely pro-Trump that comes out of the Bragg district attorney's office, in my view.
So we're, of course, talking to Jerry Kasar, chairman of the Conservative Party in New York. Let me ask you this, Jerry, on the governor's race.
Sure.
The Republicans have chosen Lee Zeldin.
That was the Conservative Party, yep.
Yeah. Is Lee Zeldin the right choice if you guys want to have a chance to win the governor's race in New York? He's a Trumper.
Well, we think so. To me, that's not a problem. Look, we have a four-term congressman, two-term New York State senator, and a path to victory mostly due to two factors. One is that how messed up the state has become under Democratic control, and secondly, because we have chosen a highly qualified candidate. You know, you could disagree with Lee Zeldin, but you can't disagree with the fact that he has, enormous credentials. Additionally, if you wanted to be just strictly political about it, you could also argue that the key to victory for New York Republicans and conservatives is to do well in New York City's suburbs. And I do believe that, you know, that Zeldin is the strongest candidate we've come up with in a very long, very long time. Also, there is a lot of different polling out there. There's polling that shows, Lee in a dead heat, and there's a lot of other polling that shows Lee just a little bit, somewhat behind, but far, far, far closer than the candidates that we had, good candidates that we had run against Andrew Cuomo in the previous couple of elections, and they were good candidates. But, you know, Lee this year is at the start has a much tighter race, and he's raised a lot of money to conduct the race.
So do you think he has a shot?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely believe he has a shot. See, the way we always say it, and you know this because you've been in politics, you know, longer than really certainly me, the question becomes, does he have a path to victory? I believe there is a path to victory for Lee Zeldin, and he's putting the elements together to be able to drive down that road.
What about the other candidates who are running, like Harry Wilson, who can finance his own campaign? Why not go for a guy like that?
Well, I mean, for a couple of reasons. Lee is totally qualified from our perspective, so why go for a guy like that when you already have somebody?
Additionally,
I would not say I would really be more likely to win with a Harry Wilson. I would say we would be more likely to win with a Lee Zeldin. Harry is an exceptionally nice gentleman who does certainly have various credentials. But his ability to his ability, in my view, to push the type of message that we need this year, the Wilson candidacy runs short. Harry has essentially portrayed himself as not being Lee Zeldin, which is an unfortunate way to portray yourself when we wanted Lee Zeldin.
So let's talk a little bit and shift to redistricting in New York State. Some people call it gerrymandering. So is there a difference between redistricting and gerrymandering? I think not, but what do you think?
Well, not certainly this cycle. The reapportionment is required logically by law every 10 years.
Right.
There has to be. But I mean, and we did put in place what we thought were protections that, that apparently a lot of people spent a great deal of time trying to get around. In fact, we passed the initial attempt to overturn this nonpartisan gerrymandering. We won last year on a ballot issue. We won it 2-1. But the end result is gerrymandering. We are in court in Steuben County. We are anticipating a decision prior to April 4th that it goes to the constitutionality of what occurred. We feel that our case was made very strongly, and we await the closing arguments and the decision from the judge and all the naysayers out there that want to say, well, you can't, it's too late or whatever. The issue of constitutionality tops any other conversation you can have concerning politics in this state. If a judge declares a reapportionment unconstitutional, no one should tell me or anyone else, well, you know, wow, we already got the petition signatures. No, you don't get petition signatures you don't go ahead with an election if a judge should declare these lines unconstitutional. And we are hopeful, and I'd say even a little bit confident, that we've made excellent arguments.
So, Jerry Cassar, I want to change questioning here and ask you about Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, of course. Is it too soon for him to come back? One poll showed him only 4 points behind the sitting governor. Or do you hope he splits the vote in the primary?
Well, I mean, I think he's on a vendetta. I think, vengeance is served cold, and he's a cold character. And it may not even be about coming back. It might just simply be about being that sort of force in politics, you know, to get the revenge that he seeks for the simple fact that he was held to a normal standard. You know, and his dick was not able to come out of any of this looking like an individual of any integrity. And right now, he should probably be somewhat happy to even go to jail.
You know, President Trump, when he was president, seemed to play a very comfortable role with Vladimir Putin and with the Russians. You're a conservative. The conservative generally didn't like what they saw in Russia. What do you make of this whole thing?
I don't know. I do not agree with President Trump on anything that boosts or assists or propagates anything that Putin is doing. I do not hold the Russian people responsible for Putin and his senior people running a military that is invading a country and killing children, they could care less. I hold the top Russian leadership and Putin responsible for that. Conservative Party and the conservative movement are strongly supportive of the efforts the Ukraine is making and their leadership to defend themselves and to defend their freedoms against Russia. To the degree that Trump has been attempting to, soften the landing for Putin, I do not agree with him at all.
So let me ask you about a concept which you and I have touched on before, but term limits. Do you think it's time for term limits to be imposed in New York State?
Yes, we have supported term limits for many, many years. The gerrymandering to some degree is an illustration of why maybe less legislators would be spending all their time trying to figure out the best way to get reelected if they thought they didn't have another term to run it. But there are numerous. I mean, I'm not. Virginia has one term for governor. I don't agree with that. There has to be enough time for policies to mature and become adopted. My view is the term limits runs around an 8-year period, whether it be 4 terms for the legislature or 2 years for governor. I think that's a healthy amount of time to get people focused on the agendas and policies they want to move ahead with. But I think the general public is benefited by the pot stirring, and term limits are the best way to guarantee a stirring pot.
Yep. And if you were in the majority and if you were there, you would be taking the same line. You would be Jerry Kasar. You would be saying the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We never actually asked Lee Zeldin to make a 2-term commitment. We never actually asked him. We never really got to that point because, like, I think the first time we sat down with him about running for governor, he told us it was for a 2-term limit. Now, Lee Zeldin is like 42 years old. You know, when I hear Biden talk about, maybe I'll limit myself to 1 term versus, I say to myself, okay, I can understand why he may not want to think he's going to run for a 2nd term anyways. But Lee Zeldin at the age of like 41 or 42 indicating that he intends to limit himself to 2 terms is truly an indication that this man believes he's got a lot more to give in his life that goes beyond politics.
Tell me about the Conservative Party, Jerry Kasar, and a flat tax, the idea of a flat tax. Where every household in New York State pays the same percentage of their income, thereby making it possible to eliminate nuisance taxes and the further reduction in corporate and personal income taxes to stimulate economic growth.
So the conservative movement has generally been in favor of a flat tax, but the situation in New York is so out of hand where we consider these credits and these very specific returns from the government almost to be like tax cuts, and they are not tax cuts. So right now in New York, I would be just satisfied if they started playing back again with some of these generalized percentages, on PIT, instead of, turning the money back into whether it be a credit for this group or a credit for that group. But to go the further step, generally speaking, we have believed that the flat tax takes you out of this quandrum of all these complicated government programs. Now, President Trump did not do a flat tax, obviously, but what he did do was a simplification. In my lifetime, the 2 simplifications I can recall was a simplification that occurred during the Reagan administration, when you might say I was becoming familiar and aware of my own personal income taxes, and certainly in the Trump administration, these simplifications are kind of a hybrid version of what I think it was Congressman Crane early on in his career talked about as far as this flat tax theory.
I want to ask you about physician-assisted suicide, something I'm very much for and I know you're very much against. How come?
Correct. We are against it. We have been against it. We believe that it is a wide opening for allowing insensitive type legislation that could affect the disability community. And we know a lot of individuals in the disability community agree with us. There is a concern that the insensitivities of government can sometimes result in laws like this being used in a very draconian manner.
In other words, throwing grandma from the train.
Right. I wouldn't want Putin to have an assisted suicide law in his country.
So let me go back and ask you, first of all, so people will understand, how do you make a living?
Oh, right now I'm a retired state employee. I do work for the party, but party's mostly for expenses. I have really been devoting my time to the party. I do have a small business on the side where we do some text messaging, but it's a small business. It's something I've had with partners for a number of years.
How old are you?
63.
Do you think that's old or young?
I think I'm approaching middle age.
Yeah, well, as an 80-year-old, I agree. So I guess I'm going to ask you whether you feel that your leadership of the Conservative Party has turned out to be something that has been productive in your life. Put another way.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, please.
I definitely feel it's been productive. There are many ways you can look at involvement in politics. Sometimes it's just clearly the elections. Sometimes it is the over a longer period of time, the way your philosophy and policies begin to permeate the government in ways that might not be obvious to, you know, me here. It might be something on a federal level. Could have been something that was occurring during the Trump administration or previous. But here's the other thing. Sometimes it's about the things that don't happen. We don't put out a mailing or discuss with our people stuff that didn't happen. But sometimes the successes in the conservative movement or conservative party, particularly in a state like New York, are some of the things that may not have happened as you see, policy after policy from a left-wing perspective come through this legislature. So maybe there are things that didn't happen because of the Conservative Party or conservative movement on the GOP. I generally believe my tenure with the party has been productive.
And thank you, Jerry Kasar, chairman of the Conservative Party in New York. Anybody wants to find out more about you and the party, cpnys.org. Jerry, we thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Yes, my pleasure, too. Thank you.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Or visit us online anytime at WAMC.org, or you can even schedule a podcast. And join us again next week at this same time for another Political Conversation with Alan Chartok. I'm your producer, David Gustina. Thanks for listening.